Hello once again, fans of How to Get Away with Murder. This is your host, Kim, and welcome to the podcast, How to Get Away with Law, for Season 2, Episode 9, What Did We Do?, which was our winter finale before we all have to eat turkey and cry about how long it's going to take until the next half of the season, which is in like February. Which maybe I'll come back and do a podcast in between that. I'm hoping to actually get some friends who are behind the times watching this show. I don't know where the hell they were in the first place not watching this show. Maybe I'll get a panel together with people, some friends and their reactions and what they think, and see what people who are just now seeing it all together, like a splurge watch, would say about it. So we'll see. I'll try to get that together if I can get some of my lame friends to actually come on this podcast. But nevertheless, we'll go into a recap. And disclaimer before I hit this recap is I like to go around the internet and search out a recap from some wonderful person who's put it out publicly. And then I just read it. I never even read the recap beforehand, so you're about just as surprised as I am, unless you have read this. And this week, I think I've done this website before. I went to www.laneygossip.com, and this was posted by... not sure if it's Duana. I don't know. If you for some reason listen to this podcast, please tell me how to pronounce your name. But anyway, let's go ahead and get into that recap. Well, it's all done. The puzzle pieces have come together. At least some of them. And Elise told Eve it's him, because they met Kristoff years ago, just after his mother died. At their hands? I don't know. We would have been about 13 at the time, so I think we have to be pretty sure that Annalise and Eve were behind one white glass. Now, what did they do? So tonight, we saw it all add up. We know the exact timeline of what happened at the Habstall house. Awesomely, it was pretty much devoid of any actual Habstalls, and pretty devoid of Philip Jessup. I knew he was a red herring, but it's kind of amazing that he was utterly irrelevant to the finale, give or take that he happened to knock on Catherine's door while she wasn't there. That was lucky. I mean, the whole show was lucky. There are gigantic problems with all these scenarios. Most of them I can chalk up to Annalise being nuts, but like, how about the DA's blood is going to be all over that parking garage, where there was also a witness who got a good long look at Asher and 95,000 security cameras. It's not a question of whether they find out, it's a question of which was his fastest. Which way is fastest is what I'm assuming this is supposed to say. Sorry, let me not correct her grammar. Because so far, I'm liking this recap. But before I get to Annalise and everything we saw that brought her to the crazy spinning mind place she somehow dragged everyone to last night, let's recap what we didn't see. The immediate aftermath that we've seen before, so we know what's going to happen. For example, there's Frank walking in to freak out over Annalise and then sauntering out all, it's going to be fine. Was he in on the shot in the leg plan and doesn't notice or worry that the bullet isn't where it's supposed to be? Or just satisfied that Annalise got what was coming to her. We didn't see Catherine wake up either, but we know she's going to, in a field with a police officer calling her a live one. We didn't see Michaela slip into her apartment, see Caleb and assure him she's fine. I assumed at that time that she was lying, but now I realize we don't know how she is. We didn't see Nate peel away with the no second murder Keating 3 and the willfully angry Wes Kristoff, even though we know it happened. The timeline was all over the place. Of course, there could have been some things missed. But of course, none of them are going to get away with this because it's a complete mess. Asher's a complete mess because he's smart enough to know how all this looks. The DA's bones are broken in ways that her fault won't justify. His DNA is all over her, way to wrap her in like the shawl from Zara, you guys. And even if it weren't, his girlfriend only came back to him because his father killed himself. His mother told him she never wants to see him again, and his mentor teacher type revealed herself to be the kind of crazy sociopath you assume your professors are. For Asher, everything is compounded when he finds out he's the only virgin in this scenario. Everyone else has already killed a person, or at least been a substantial serial-style accessory. Asher is surrounded by terrible people, and we have to assume his father is a lot more terrible than we originally understood, or else why would he go all the way to killing himself? So, Wes is damaged beyond repair. Frank is whistling somewhere, which bothered Laurel, but probably won't. Asher's damaged beyond repair. The particularly right now, that should pair well with Bonnie, who is damaged beyond repair, particularly right now. Laurel is not so damaged, which means that Mantle of Insanity via murder is coming to her next, and Michaela and Connor still haven't recovered from last year, and Annalise is bleeding on the floor. The thing is that when Sam died last year and she developed her plan, why not just tell the truth about what happened? Self-defense? I know their answer is, because the show, but I want to know what Annalise's internal reason is. What is her malfunction that allows her the hubris to think that if she fixes everything, sets this one up for this crime only to be acquitted, and making these charges go away like this, she'll suddenly make everything okay for everyone? Because I do believe she wants to do that. That's very apparent. But I don't understand why her thought process is small crisis, crazy massive gesture that's sure to fail, threatening people to keep quiet for days, years. I wish we knew. Overall, I really enjoyed this fall season. It moved like mad, it's got more momentum than last year. I remain intrigued by the Half-Stalls because Catherine doesn't seem like a great lawyer. But since our characters remain traumatized by death and are still probably covered in a fine layer of blood spatter from where Emily Sinclair landed, I worry that we won't get to see some of the fun. Their banter when it was really banter. Connor and Oliver in their endless foreplay with Partey. Ash's funny faces. I like this show in spite of myself, but how long can these characters keep telling themselves, no, this one is my last murder. For sure? See you in February. Meanwhile, if you have any proof that Wes actually cared about Rebecca, hit me up on Twitter because I'll believe it when I see it. And just in case you guys wanted to hit her up on Twitter, her Twitter is at DuanaElise. Once again, DuanaElise. And then hit me up on Twitter as well at getawaywithlaw. Or send me an email at howtogetawaywithlaw@gmail.com. Or maybe you can go to the Facebook group to search out How to Get Away with Law and post your comment there and like the page and tell me what you think. Do you think Wes cared about Rebecca? I think he cared, but I think he cared more about finding out who did it, because maybe in this whole time he suspected it was Annalise. And so far, it seems like his vendetta and his revenge was bigger than his love for Rebecca, because the chick is dead. So, I don't know. Anyway, thank you for that recap that you didn't actually know you supplied to me. And sorry about correcting that typo, I just saw the typo. It's just one typo and a pretty good recap, because I like how there was some negativity in that and some realism, because this really is a mess, people. Anyway, that's the end of that recap, so I guess we'll go ahead and get into the comments. Okay, well, I'm not sure why Michaela and Caleb decided to call Connor over when Catherine was asleep in the house. But I guess it's better not to move the evidence and to see it where Caleb found it. Wait, let's be real. Like, these people haven't moved evidence and done other shady things before, so silly me. Let's move on. So Catherine ran away. Why did no one stop her out of Michaela and Connor? Maybe Caleb would have threatened to shoot them for chasing his sister, but I wonder how she got away with three grown-ass people in the house. I'm sure one of them could catch her, but maybe that would lead to assault or something like that. Who knows? Okay, Sarah Burns, once again, I have to give you credit. You make Emily Sinclair so damn hateable. I hate her so much. Which means you're a fabulous actress. Couldn't wait to see that character die. Especially after setting Nate off in front of his co-workers. But we'll get into that. We move on to Asher, and Bonnie drops the dad suicide bomb on him. Just, ouch, rough. It was not really a scene I was looking forward to see him hanging there all blue and dead. Ugh. And I'm sorry, I know Asher's mom was in shock, but maybe she doesn't know what a jerk her husband was, or in her grief, that didn't matter anymore. But this can't be blamed on Asher. Annalise did throw Millstone Sr. under the bus, but his mom's saying that Asher cared more about Annalise than his family. Come on, someone revisit that woman after she's grieved for a bit and slap some sense into her, because it don't make no sense. But I'll forgive her now because she's upset, and I'd be damn upset if my significant other hung themselves. And my son was alive, and I saw there's a connection as to what's going on here, and Annalise is somewhere behind that. So I guess I can see her side, but I still would want to slap some sense into her. Now, Bonnie says a critical line to Frank when they're talking about how it was Annalise's fault that Millstone Sr. was driven to suicide. She says to him, "We say we're just protecting ourselves, but there's a point when we're the ones people need to be protected from," which is something Annalise has echoed before a few episodes back. They're starting to become people that maybe they need to be saved from, because in order to fix certain problems, that might mean your history, your family, your loved ones are going to be thrown under a bus, put on trial for somebody else's murder, all their dirty laundry dredged up and given to somebody because, you know, just the use of power. Be like, you know what, here's some dirty info on this person. I'm sure you want to excel and go further in your career here, so take this dirty laundry and just excel with your future as we destroy somebody's life. So Bonnie has a point. Finally, we see the dirty dealing that Annalise uses to solve problems catching up to her throughout this episode, and it starts to lead to her breakdown, which goes pretty nuts by the end of this. But let me point out how awful it is that none of the Keating Killer Four have Asher's number out of all this time. I know he was out of loop, he wasn't in Sam's murder, but damn, why don't they have his phone number by now? I don't understand. Even in the episode when the killer and shooter will be revealed, we still get bits and pieces of stories, then we retreat back to fill out that picture more. It's compelling and frustrating all at the same time. I mean, it's like they just want to bait us even longer, but didn't want to take more episodes to do it, so they're like, you know what, we'll give you a part of the story here, then we'll move on, then we'll rewind, give you more of the story, move forward, rewind, back and forth. They're lucky I love the show. I'm like, geez, just give us the whole story. You've been baiting us this entire season, but the show does it pretty good. Now, well, looks like Sinclair was dead before she was dropped from the roof by Bonnie and just splattered in a way that doesn't make any sense, and like the recapper said, and which Asher says in the episode, like, when I hit this woman in the car, her bones are all jacked up in different ways, and then when she fell, it's like a splatter, so this isn't going to make any sense. I don't know how we're going to make this one gel together, but this is all a mess, as the recapper said, and as I agree. This one was an entire mess with a bunch of loose ends everywhere, and Annalise didn't get to plan all of it, just trying to plan the cleanup as usual, but this one's much worse than Sam. Now, back to Sinclair. Thank God they literally rewind us back to Sinclair baiting Nate at the police station, and then down the path to her doom. I was ready for her to go after she filed that complaint against Nate, and then, of course, he then filed a complaint using his race card. Again, him and that race card. I mean, Eve has been down that road with that race card, and I've been down that road with the race card, so I'm going to let that race card go. Sinclair was out of line for thinking that Millstone Sr. deserved to be driven to suicide, but he was definitely a corrupt, selfish asshole. Well, hope she used that same logic about herself before Asher turned her into roadkill. Roadkill that was apparently too far under the car for the concerned lady in the parking garage that asked to help Asher didn't see it, but AAA, aka Bonnie, was on the way, and Asher now becomes a killer like the other students. I guess this is going to ruin my Keating Killer 4 team name eventually. I guess it's back to the Keating 5s, now that Asher has been initiated. Interesting. And how is it that she's dying? We can't figure out why exactly she hates Annalise so much. Please tell me she's going to be tied back to this crazy case that we see later about Wes's mom or something. She's already dead, and we don't know exactly why she has such a vendetta against Annalise. We need to know. Now, Bonnie still calls Annalise to tell her what to do in this case with Asher. I mean, even with their falling out that they had. But maybe it was the better choice, because considering they're all so entangled in drama, and murder, and lies, and cover-ups, guess it was the right thing to do. Once again, an Annalise breakdown, because it always catches up to you people, the breakdowns, and the stress, and the crazy. A note here. So the psychobabble doll was still in Annalise's office. Maybe I just read too much into the exchange with Nate and Annalise in the courthouse in the episode that Nia asked Annalise to kill her. I don't know. I won't go into that right now. It's still confusing to me. But anyway, Annalise has a psychobabble fall, and she tells Frank to get it. She's got a plan. Now, I love how Annalise was quick to tell on the Keating Four when they didn't want to help with Sinclair's body. I mean, actually, I thought it was fair. I mean, what do you think, guys? What do you think? Tell me. You tell me. Why, I think it's fair, because it wasn't like Annalise asked them to kill Sam. She was glad it happened and tried to cover it up at every turn. But, hey, she helped, cover this up for the students, and Asher needed help. So I felt like she was in the right to go ahead and be like, look, don't let those people act like you're a horrible human being. They've done something horrible to you, and they're going to help you because they're just being selfish, crazy assholes because they're scared. But, hey, you need to help cover this up with your friends, especially since Sinclair not being in the picture may help with them digging less into Sam's murder. But after the mess and all the blood left like in the parking garage and all this stuff, I don't know how they're going to clean this up. Shonda, you better have a good reason and a good idea as to how we're going to pass this off, because it's looking a little crazy. Like, how in the world are they going to get away with all this stuff, with all this evidence and cameras and blood and all of that stuff? I also love how neither Annalise or Frank dared to Google how much psychobarbital someone should take to fall into a nice, long, deep sleep. I'm sure it has to be out there, like maybe on a Dexter fan blog or something. Of course, Annalise was in no position to do some Googling, but Frank, hands-free device Google search, man. Sure, you could find a way to wipe that search history wherever need be, right? Look it up. Google. It's your friend. Even when you're trying to put Catherine into a death-like sleep. But as the recapper said, we don't even find out what exactly happens to Catherine, because we know she wakes up in the woods, and I'm wondering if they pinned Sinclair's murder or the shooting of Annalise on Catherine. We'll see. They didn't answer that or go back to that. Now, Connor and Michaela go back and forth about if I'm mad at them for not wanting to be part of covering up the murder or not. I mean, they have already been mixed in one, so I would want to be in two and be implicated even further, because by the time all these crimes catch up to you, man, you are in jail for life or you're on death row. It is, I don't know, but they still get on my nerves. Now, I'm going to admit something about my theory episodes ago. I was obviously wrong. Bonnie is not the third body that ends up in the Hapstall Mansion. There's only one body, technically, and that body wasn't even killed in the Hapstall house. It was just dropped dead onto the ground and splattered at the house. So there wasn't actually a murder that occurred there that night. Not at all. And Bonnie didn't take the opportunity to shoot Annalise while she's holding the gun, and it's just obvious where she's like creeping in the room, and Annalise has her back to her, and she's got this gun, and she's like, no, it's done. Cool, we're cool. And then when Bonnie leaves her the gun, maybe that's Bonnie's way of saying, okay, well, hopefully, if she told me to leave the gun, maybe she's going to kill herself instead, and it would just save me from having to kill her, because I told you, I want you to die, but hey, how about you kill yourself? And Mr. Millstone did it. Why can't you? There was something that was not explained in this episode. When, how, and why did Asher go to the police station to report something? When Bonnie looks around to find him, and she asked where he is, he said he was giving them a car wash. Why did Asher go to the station? There couldn't have been enough time while Bonnie was cleaning herself in the bathroom. I imagine the cops would not have kept him for like 10 minutes or less and just like, okay, thanks for your confession, bye. Maybe the show is faking us out again, and later, after the car is washed and Bonnie disappears so that no one sees her blood-soaked shirt, Asher then reports it as part of the plan. But of course they didn't go back to that, so guess we'll see that in February in the next coming other half of the season. Also, Philip couldn't find Catherine at the hotel they were at, so he goes to the Hapstall Mansion. Where is he when Sinclair's body drops? And when Annalise is shot? Maybe figures in the next half season, but yeah, he was not really all that important. Annalise calls the cops and then says hateful things to the students to get them to shoot her. I wish she would have left that up to Bonnie to shoot her. I mean, the one who wanted her to die the most. Maybe Bonnie would have caved at the last minute and wouldn't have been able to do it. maybe we are tired of it and always being Wes that murders, but he's only lashed out when it comes to Rebecca, when Sam was trying to kill her, and when Annalise said that Rebecca was dead the entire time he was grieving to her, and she just had to be a complete jerk about that, and who wouldn't want to attack her after saying, oh, you know what, actually, your girlfriend's been dead this entire time. I've been lying, you've been crying on my lap, and now, bitch is dead. I mean, I'm surprised he didn't go for a headshot, because I showed a nice, clean headshot. He didn't mess with my woman, I'll shoot you in the head. And it was just funny, because when she realized he wasn't going to shoot her in the leg, she was like, nope, and he was like, nope, it's happening, boom, right in the side. And then he was going to come after, a little finishing blow. But then she starts saying, Kristoff. So, alright, here we go, and I especially had this weird discussion with my mom at the end when we see this scene. So Wes was he Kristoff? I mean, and the strong implication that Annalise is his mom. Once again, Steph Z from AfterBuzz TV on How to Get Away with Murder always has been pushing this theory, and I haven't listened to the podcast for this specific episode 9 yet, because I always do my podcast before I listen to theirs, because I don't want to have my views influenced by their views in advance. So I'll see if she's strutting on the podcast once I finish recording this one. But she's saying Annalise would be, you know, his mom. Or she said maybe even related to him somehow, some way. But I mean, I call shenanigans unless he was put up for adoption super early. The boy the cop was questioning was like too old to know, did not know what his mother looked like. He would know who his mom, he'd know his mom's face. Come on. I mean, when he said she looked pretty dead when he found her, he's old enough, like 12 or 13, to know what his mom looks like. So it's not like he could have forgotten Annalise's face. And, I mean, it had to be one-way glass when Eve and Annalise are just staring in at him. It was weird. And he's old enough to know his real name. I mean, Kristoff, Wes, how does he not know his name? What? Come on. If this is Wes, how would he not know that his name had eventually been switched to Wes at the age of like 12 or 13? The kid is too old. He's cognizant of things. How would he forget this unless, you know, he was super traumatized and I don't know, maybe he's on medication. I don't know. How would he not know? This kid is too old. The only way it makes sense is if Annalise gave him up for adoption when he was an infant and somehow caused his stepmother to commit suicide. I don't think Annalise killed his mom. Or maybe she just was tied to a case that got his mother, whether that mother was biological or adoptive, killed, and she feels responsible for it. But, let me say, and those braids, Annalise, boom, Rockland braids, way back in the day. I guess Eve likes her chocolate, all ethnic, apparently. Anyway, that is all for this episode. I can hardly wait until February for the next episode so we can get this all solved. I love this show, and I want to see how they're going to fix this crazy mess, because they're going to have to do some good writing, because there's a lot of loose ends that should get these people in trouble, and they better not be slipping out of it easily. This better make sense. And like I said, hopefully I can get a panel together before the next half of the season starts. Hopefully, maybe some people watched it while it was live, or people who are just, you know, kind of binge-watching it now, and just kind of discuss it. And I don't know when that would come out. We'll have to see. I guess you'll just have to look in your feed. But until then, I would definitely like to hear some feedback, especially since this is the winter finale. I haven't heard from anybody, so I would love to hear some feedback from people, some comments, anything. And you can do it in written form, or you can record an audio file and email it to howtogetawaywithlaw@gmail.com, or hit me up in 140 characters, or more than that, double that if you have sent several. And you can tweet me at getawaywithlaw. And make sure you follow. Also, you can go to Facebook and search out the group How to Get Away with Law. And go ahead and like the page and comment away. I would like to hear your theories of what you think of the seasons so far. Whether you have theories or not. Opinions, things you didn't like, things you don't like, things you want to see in the podcast, whatever. I just want to hear from the fans. But until then, guys. Oh, wait a minute. I have to remind you. I don't know what in the world happened to the feed from last week, so that episode came out super late, so you guys are probably thinking I'm a slacker because the past few weeks it was late because of busyness or I was sick, and then all of a sudden I missed almost an entire week and sent out two podcasts in in one day, but unfortunately something was weird with the feed, and the one from last week, episode 8, was supposed to come out on time, but it did not. So I apologize for that, but here, you're going to have this one on time, hopefully, unless the feed does something stupid. Anyway, until next time, this has been your host, Kim.